play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. We have made it to the second major of the season, the U.S. Open, out at Wingfoot Country Club. It's going to be a great one. We'll get to that shortly, as that's going to be just a disaster of a tournament in a good way, But we have a little bit of recapping to do from the last 2 weeks. We, with the weird schedule last week, we decided to take the week off from the Safeway, and it kind of stinks now when the Stew Goat won, all things considered. But to recap the last few weeks, you can check me out on Twitter at BDIntric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Doing okay. I figured out one thing, though, watching NFL football this this past weekend, obviously yesterday mostly. I am so glad that the PGA Tour is not piping in fake crowd noise.
Could you imagine like Rahm's like 60-foot playoff putt and the fake crowd noise going off?
It's just like, I get it to a certain point, but like they're trying too hard. I feel like just make it one sound, and that's fine. Like, because it just does, it's annoying. It's just me. But
it just shows you don't watch baseball very much, because they do it like all different levels of cheering based on how the ball's hit and stuff. It gets really interesting. So yeah,
no baseball for me. But like that, that's what they're trying to do with the NFL here, right? Like yeah. It's just not easy to do, but it's also annoying to me. So I'm glad that the PGA Tour has not done that, and hopefully the U.S. Open will not do that this week. I would imagine if Fox still had it, I bet they would do it. But
if Fox had it, they probably would. Joe Buck would be sitting there eating a hot dog, drinking a beer, talking about it. But yeah. They don't. We have NBC, which is usually decent coverage, so that'll be
should fun. Be okay.
Yeah, should be good. But real quick, we'll recap. 2 weeks ago at the Tour Championship, DJ took it down. He just finished off one of the better runs you'll see in a long time. A DJ run. We've talked about it time and time again. Throughout the duration of the show, he's had runs like this where he's like, stay out of his way. As long as he's, you know, half decent, he's going to torch the field. And he's been doing that. He held it off. Xander made a push again. We might want to mark that down for next year. Xander loves East Lake. That's been a trend for about 2 or 3 years now. And Kevin Delight in the chat. Yes, I did, Kevin. Sorry. Now go back to your pit. But DJ gets it done, and on Monday he was awarded Player of the Year, the Jack Nicklaus Award. Any thoughts on DJ's run there?
I mean, like, what did he win, like $17 million in 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, Paulina must be very happy.
It's stupid. I mean, it's just dumb, and I wasn't super tuned into the Tour Championship. I don't know what I was doing, but
probably golfing.
Probably, but like, I don't know. It was one of those things where it's just, I think I watched some of it on Monday, but long story short, Tour Championship. I mean, DJ won. I sort of fully expected to happen. The weird thing though was that week is like the optimal lineup didn't have DJ in it, which was odd to me. I figured that, DJ would have to be in it, but you know, one of those anomalies, I guess.
Yeah, very weird on that regard. And then this past week in Napa, I was really bummed because I usually can go to that tournament and get free tickets and go do my thing with my buddies that live out there. And Sunday was shaping up. Like on Friday, I sent you the video of our buddy Harry Higgs, our fan. We're fanboys of Harry Higgs getting the Albatross on 18, basically to walk it off. He's got the video talking about, you know, sometimes it's better just to get lucky type stuff. Like he's all of us on a golf course. He's got a big lip in. He's got his shirt unbuttoned, like literally – He wouldn't have a shirt tucked in if he didn't have to. Like, he just does not care what's going on out there. And I love every minute of it.
Me too.
And so he does that. And then Stew Goat goes and wins the darn thing, beats Higgs by two. So Higgs finishes second, Stew Goat first. Like, my head would have exploded watching that final round in person. I wouldn't know what to do. What do you think about that week?
A lot of Always Pressing guys up top there. You got, obviously, Stew Goat, Harry, Doc, who we've been on here recently, Chez, who we're usually on, Streelman, Stewart. I almost played Sam Burns, and I just didn't bring myself to do it. It was not a good week for me on DraftKings, but Ash K, there you go. He made a top 10 there, so that was good for him. James fucking Hahn out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, James Hahn, blew my mind.
James Hahn to me is like the most insane golfer. Mm-hmm. He just shows up randomly and then goes away and then shows up and then goes away. If you play James Hahn, like, you got to be down millions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I played him a long time ago. I remember one of our buddies that you know very well texted us and said, he's hitting it okay in practice rounds, but you might not want to play him. And I still played him, and he imploded, and I haven't played him since. Let's put it that way. Like, it was, because he was coming actually in good form at that point in time. So, yeah, no Hahn for me anymore. So that one, whenever I see him playing well and towards the top of the leaderboard, it brings me back to that weekend, and it really tilts my face off. So,
There was also a dude who went bogey free. I think he shot, was it Mark Anderson?
That's a heck of an accomplishment. Like, Silverado's a fun course. Like, I liked watching it on TV. It's a course that if you hit it well and you have a good wedge game, obviously birdies are plenty, but those greens are tricky. Like, people, I don't think, pay attention to how tough those greens can be. So it could be a birdie fest, but you still got to set yourself up because, man, I was watching the shot tracker. You know, we like to tilt shot tracker. When you see your guys on these par fives that are very gettable in two, struggling to get pars on them, you know it's not going to be a fun week. And that was just like, oh boy.
Yeah. He goes bogey free for four rounds. And finishes fucking 36th.
Oh man, bogey free and finished 36.
Shot 12 under.
That's gotta be some kind of record, right?
He shot on weird thing on Saturday. He had one birdie and 17 pars.
Man, very Jim Furyk. That's a good way to put it. Very Jim Furyk. Like, if Anderson, I doubt he's in the field this week. He'd love to have that set up this week. Yeah. He'd win the whole thing.
I'd take 72 pars right now.
Yeah, now that very well could win the whole darn thing.
It's not gonna happen though.
No, it's gonna be over par. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's just get into it because as much as we can talk Napa, we can talk to our championship. No one wants to listen to that right now. So let's get into it. The U.S. Open, second major of the year. It's one that like everyone gets excited because it shows challenging. It makes the golfers look human and blah 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 blah. All those great things. And we've actually seen that in a couple tournaments here recently, over at Muirfield and Olympia, I believe it was. A couple of really challenging golf courses. And we saw guys grinding. I think John Rahm won both of those. So keep that in mind. But now we go to Wingfoot, and we'll get into the course preview in a minute. But just what's your thoughts on this hole? It's going to be carnage this week. There's no way a guy shoots like 900 and wins this thing. It's not happening. So
well,
what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, so it obviously will be interesting. I'll get into a little bit of strategy later on. But, you know, looking back, so I'm just going to hop into the event history, which really doesn't matter because obviously the PGA Tour, or I mean the U.S. Open, is played at a different golf course almost every year. They are going to start like a rotation, though. Did you see that? Yeah,
didn't Pinehurst get like four locked up and stuff like that?
Pinehurst, I think, is on there. Oakmont's on there. I think maybe Shinnecock, Pebble, Wingfoot might be on there too. Anyways, long story short, the last time we played here at Wingfoot was 2006. Jeff Ogilvy won the tournament at 5 over par by one shot over Jim Furyk, Phil Mickelson, and Colin Montgomery. Now, the next year was 2007, obviously. Angel Cabrera won that at Oakmont at +5. So fast forward to the next time we're at Oakmont, DJ wins it at -4, which is 9 shots better.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know if these guys have gotten that much better. They just didn't play it as difficult. I don't know if, I mean, I think it's going to be an even par score.
Yeah.
Because I do think that the overall landscape of golf today versus 14, 15 years ago is better.
True.
These are better golfers. These guys have been playing golf all their lives. And so I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a +5. Now, the cut there last year, or that year, 2006, was +10.
Oh, man.
Oh. So you go out and just fire a couple 75s, you make the cut.
That's wild. Wild to think about. Like, yeah, how do you shoot today? 5 over. You playing the weekend? Yeah, actually, I am. Things you don't hear. Like 10 cup, good old Roy McIlvoy would have felt pretty good about that.
What's the cut rule for this? Do you know?
That's what I was saying. It's 144 golfer field. It's T60 in ties. So it's even like it's not T65. It's T60 in ties. So 6 of 6 is going to be.
There might not be any.
Next to impossible. Like there might be a couple, but it might be like 1 or 2%. It's going to be very tough to get 6 or 6 through this week.
Yeah. Do you remember, I think it was Chambers Bay. I believe it was Chambers Bay. I don't think it was Shinnecock, where like five of sixes were beating six of sixes.
Yes, I could see that because it's one of those deals like, okay, so you get six of sixes through, but if they have bad weekends, you're losing points.
Right.
So then finishing position comes so clutch because you're not getting a bunch of birdies, like, so you're not getting all the DK points. So it literally finishing position is huge.
Yeah.
Like the NASCAR guys in our chat would understand this big time on those typical races where it's just like two dominators and then they just go in circles and it's all about finishing position. Doesn't matter what else you do. That's what this is basically. Like literally – you got to finish high and pray. That's pretty much where it's going to go. Like, you're not going to have a bunch of birdie streaks or any of that kind of stuff this week.
Yeah. I mean, there's pretty much not going to be any birdies.
Yeah. If a guy gets three birdies in a row, you might be the only guy that gets three birdies in a row.
There'll be some birdies, obviously. But yeah, there's, I mean, those things will be few and far between for sure. I mean, it's, you got the course preview.
Yes, I do. I'm not going to go super deep like normal because I think everyone's heard it everywhere. But good old Wingfoot, it's a par 70. A little less than 7,500 yards. So it's super long course. Three par threes, well over 200 yards, which are very challenging because now you're going long irons at a par three on very challenging greens. They're sloped a ton. Most of them are sloped, from back to front, typical old design golf courses where the old motto, you want to be below the hole. You want to be below the hole here because they're fast. They're going to get you. Like they said, when Furyk lost to Ogilvy, it's because he missed a 5-footer on 18 for par. Like the greens are tricky and they're going to be faster this year, they said, than 2006. So that'll change as well. So you have that to worry about for one thing. You have it's 8 or 9, depending on what the final card looks like for the, because I haven't seen a final card yet. Apparently they're still waiting to release what the actual distance is going to be. You're going to have like 8 or 9 par fours that range from 450 to 500. So you're going to have a lot of long iron play coming in, which is going to be huge. The fairways are narrow, and they get narrower the farther down you go. So if you're a bomber and you want to still land at the fairway, now you have a narrower landing spot. So that gets fun. You have multiple levels of rough. It's like starts out about 2.5 inches right off the fairway. Then about 2 to 3 feet, it goes to like 4 to 5 inches. And then another 2 to 3 feet, it goes to what you can't see anywhere. Like they were showing pictures today online. I know you probably saw them, anywhere from like 8 to 12 inches of just grass. And they're going to cut them one more time before the tournament starts. And then they're leaving them alone. So it's going to be nasty. It's going to be real nasty. Again, greens are tough. The rough around the greens are thick. You want to have a good up and down game. Like I said, I'm not going to go super into it because you have one par five over 600 yards that you can get birdies on. Eagles are next to impossible. Like that's just not happening. But it's all about staying in the fairway so you have any chance of holding it on these very challenging greens. And par is a great score this week. So what's your thoughts on what you're looking at, Jesse?
Yeah, a lot of accuracy stuff, man. I mean, it, you know, I do think that the whole distance thing will be negated a bit. I watched a lot of the holes on the flyover and what you were just talking about as far as the fairways narrowing as you get closer to the green. You know, so it kind of negates that a little bit. With that being said, you know, I still like a lot of these guys up top who hit it really far and hit it straight. So, I mean, if you got somebody like that, I wouldn't be against that at all. But yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of accuracy stuff. Hit the fairway, hit the green, and avoid a three putt.
Yeah, three putt avoidance and just a good like up and down game. Like if you have a good wedge game that you can leave yourself a makeable par putt, you're gonna be huge. So and like you said, avoid the biggie. Like even if it takes you three to get on and you two putt for a bogey, walk away and just be like, okay, I'll take it. Let's go. Like let's go to the next hole. Don't let it crush you. Like Benny on was tweeting, Phil likes to tweet him, Phil Hatchie likes to tweet him all the time about looking for Benny on this week, all his bets. And Benny said, yeah, I played the back nine in a practice round today. I shot 8 over. So just to let you know, it's going to be interesting this week.
It should be.
No sugarcoating that at all. So before we get to the DraftKings picks, once again, fanshare.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get 20% off the package of your choice. They ramped up football this week. That was awesome stuff as usual. They always dominate the PGA coverage when it comes to ownership and other good stuff there. I just got a couple things I pulled up a little different, like the last six majors. I remember I always say you can sort it through all kinds of different things you want. So just the last six majors for golfers in this field when it comes to DraftKings scoring. I won't do Matt Wolf because he only played in one, Morikawa two. But Dustin Johnson in the last six majors is leading in DK scoring, followed by Xander, John Rahm, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, and Webb Simpson. So that's not a very surprising field. But now it gets a little more fun. The last six at par 70s over 7,400 yards, Hideki Matsuyama leads the way, followed by DJ, Jason Day, cracks in at third. Cant lays up there. Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Paul Casey. So some names that are usually kind of questionable popped on that par 70 over 7,400 yards. And then I just there's one that you can do select courses, like easy, moderate, hard, very hard type stuff. So I went to like the most difficult setting. So there's nine courses that are the most difficult on tour. Trump National, Firestone, Shinnecock, Olympia Fields, Plantation Course at Kapalua is apparently very challenging, I guess. East Lake, Albany, Islesworth, and Montreux in Canada. I didn't think those were the most challenging, but those are what popped up on this deal. And so the last six events at these courses, like in a nutshell, Xander leads the way, which would make sense when we get into the U.S. Open past history. JT, Thomas Peters checks out up here. John Rahm, DJ, Gary Woodland, Roy McIlroy, Justin Rose, and then Ricky Fowler once again pops up on this list. And I hate playing Ricky Fowler, Jesse, but he's popping up on a lot of things. So it's very, very terrifying. And I have no idea what he's been doing because half these guys haven't been playing golf, at least professionally, for the last couple of weeks. So that's terrifying. But everyone, go check out fanshiresports.com and check all that good stuff out. Let's get at it, Jesse. And the pricing's actually, I'm respecting what DK did this week. It's actually half decent.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, what's your initial thoughts before we get into it? What's your initial thoughts on the pricing?
It's not like a normal major pricing.
Yeah.
I feel like they made pricing pretty fair. Like there's no obvious, like, insane.
You don't have Kuchar $7,500 and you just plug them in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he
he's still cheap.
He's cheaper than that, but he's not playing that well. So like, yeah. I get it. Where his price at is understandable to me. But there's just nothing, like, I went through the whole list and there's nothing on, like, that just stood out as like, damn, what the fuck are they doing pricing that guy there? I think they did it right for once in a major. So
yeah, well, which will make the 6 of 6 even more challenging. So yeah. That's good. I like literally, Jesse, would you be shocked if a 3 of 6 catches this week?
No, I wouldn't. Obviously it depends on the contest, but like, you know, the smaller, especially like the smaller contests, that would be, is very possible in my opinion, if you got the winner on there, especially, the bigger contests, I still think 4 of 6, you know, has a shot. It depends on obviously how high 6 of 6 is, but with the pricing here, I think ownership will be spread out as it should. And then, so there'll be no major, like, huge chalk in my opinion. And so, like, one or two guys missing the cut's not going to blow everybody up. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys who miss this cut because 84. Assuming, you know, ties, you know,
numbers. Let's 80-ish. Just say 70, 75. Yeah. That's still a chunk.
Yeah.
Like, that's a massive chunk.
Yep.
Let's get into it. DK-wise, there are three guys over $10,000. You got DJ at 11.5, John Rahm at 11. JT at 10.7, Rory at 10.5, Xander at 10.1, and Morikawa creeps up there at 10,000. Obviously, all talented players, some past major champions. Xander's got great history in the Open and these tough courses, like we talked about. Where do you go up here?
Man, all of them. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those weeks. I do think that Dustin Johnson, obviously, very playable. I mean, we don't really have to talk about how good he's played recently, but obviously the win at the Tour Championship, second at the BMW, first at the Northern Trust, second at the PGA Championship, past U.S. Open winner. He won in 2016 at Oakmont, where, you know, the winning score was 4 under. He did win by 3 shots that year, so ran away from it a little bit there. But I like DJ. John Rahm, I think he will be popular. I guess the thing about, obviously, about Rahm in the past has been his temperament. Can he stay mentally in it long enough to, you know, have a chance? And it seems like he kind of did that, you know, at the BMW. And maybe he's turned a corner on that a little bit. I don't know. I like DJ over John Rahm myself, especially with the ownership that I suspect that, that DJ will have. JT, he's obviously, he's playing okay. Not great. I don't really. So Rory is interesting because, you know, he's obviously GPB only, and that's the only place you're playing him. Rory McIlroy, that is. Coming off the 7th place finish at the Tour Championship, 12th at the BMW. he has one U.S. Open title back in 2011, Congressional. That was 16 under par, and he won by 8 shots that year. That was back when he was the second coming of Tiger Woods. I like Xander okay, and I like Colin, man. I mean, Colin seems to show up on, when I say Colin, Morikawa, seems to show up on these, you know, big-time events, so why not, you know, at 10,000. But my favorite play is DJ. Second, third would be Xander and Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, because Colin's so good at events like this, these par 70 longer courses, because of his iron play. So, like, him and JT are pretty much two of the best, if not the best, iron players on tour right now, especially when it comes to longer irons. They play them phenomenally and very consistently. And so Morikawa can play well there. He's been kind of in a weird place. He hasn't been as dominant as he was since he won the PGA out there at Harding Park, but still, could he come out and do this? For sure. Like, we saw him compete at Muirfield. We know he can play in events like this. So I don't hate Colin at all. I love Xander this week. I'm afraid he's going to be popular, so I don't want to play a popular guy up here when they're all so tight for, like, win equity wise. Xander, I like a lot. Third, sixth, fifth in his last three U.S. Opens. Obviously, last year at Pebble, everyone's going to say that wasn't a real true U.S. Open. I get it, but just still sixth and a fifth prior to that are pretty respectable finishes. He played really well last week. Technically, he won last week in theory if he started out at scratch. So he played really well at East Lake, 25th the week before and 25th the week before that. So coming in great form. So I don't mind Xander at all. I am avoiding Rory. If he wins, I'll tip my cap. But he just seems like he's in quite the funk these days. JT's an interesting play. I think he's the kind of the pivot up top here because DJ is the number one play. Like you said, there's really no arguing that. He's locked in, great U.S. Open history, can play the tough courses, so on and so forth. Like, if he's hitting his drive straight, which he's been doing lately, he could put up a good number here, like you're saying. Like, you wouldn't be shocked if he shoots, you know, two or three under, like, two or three rounds. Like he really could do something like that, and that just blow him away from the competition, you'd think. So I could see DJ really doing something strong there. I'm going to watch Rom's ownership, though. He always comes in under-owned, always, at tournaments. And he might not this week because the name's popular. He's 500 less than DJ. I could see him coming in. But more often than not, we talk about it. You look at the numbers on Thursday, he's always low-owned. And he just dominates courses like this. He's playing great. I think he's a phenomenal play up here. Xander's one of my favorites. Rom and DJ where I'd be looking based on ownership come Wednesday evening. All right, now it gets fun because there's Bryson DeChambeau at 99, which I will not touch with a 10-foot pole. You got Webb Simpson at 97, Cantlay at 94, Berger at 92, Finau at 91, and Hideki, who I was talking about, he rates pretty good on some fan share stuff, at 9,000. So where are you going here? I bet you want to play Bryson, don't you?
Yeah, no. Well, not Bryson at all. If he wins, you know, that's the guy that I'll say, what the fuck happened to this golf course? Because I don't know. I mean, maybe he overpowers it, but I don't see it happening. Webb at 97 passed U.S. Open champion. He won in 2012 at Olympic, where the score was plus one. I actually put this in the old little teaser for you guys. My one and done is going to be Webb. We were talking about beforehand, and it's because I've fired everybody else off. So, like, he's like the last of these top guys that I want to, besides Bryson. I don't know if I think I've already used Bryson too, but anyways, Webb, good putter. And you know, he's going to hit it. I think he's going to hit enough fairways and enough greens to keep himself, you know, around that top 10, top 20 position, for the weekend. Berger, 9,200, obviously playing very well, coming in 17th, 25th, 3rd, 13th, 2nd in his last five starts. So I like him. He's a decent putter too. I mean, he's not overly great, and he kind of gets a little bit like weird sometimes with his putter, but I'm going to trust him at 9,200. I like the price on him. I don't like really anybody else in this range. Because of the putters. Cantlay is always sketched to me. Bryson, never know what the fuck he's doing. Finau, not a good putter. Hideki, no thank you. I don't care what you said in the beginning. I will not play Hideki Matsuyama, so that's probably your winner.
Yeah, no, I like Webb a ton this week. We talked about it. He kind of let us down at East Lake. He finished 17th. He kind of kept it going, but I really liked him to really finish strong there. Didn't quite have it, but You talk about a guy accurate off the tee, good approach game, can scramble and save pars, like Webb checks like all the boxes. The putter, I like Webb a lot this week. We talked about it before the show. It's like I went to make my one and done pick. I'm like, damn, I already used Webb. I should have planned this out better because this would have been a good place to kind of – there's nothing safe in golf, especially at a U.S. Open, but he kind of would have gave me kind of a safety net. Putting Webb out there feels kind of nice, at least to make the cut and see where it goes. So I like Webb a lot at 97. Berger's interesting at 92, but I go Webb. Finau at 91, missed cut at Pebble, which is pretty shocking. Fifth the year before, then a missed cut, then a 14th. So the U.S. Open, for a guy that plays so well in majors and big events, the U.S. Open's kind of been his bugaboo, you could say. I still don't mind him at $9,100. When you talk about good wedge play, Finau's got phenomenal wedge play from like 75 yards in or so. So I think Finau could be a really good one if he has to, you know, punch out of the rough, then wedge it up there to try to save pars and whatnot. He could be interesting. He could be tilting as hell too. But I think Finau at 91 is there if you want to pivot. And I'm going to look at Hideki. If he's low owned, I'm going to put him in at least one GPP. I only make three lineups. I'll put him in at least one just because he can grind it. I think that's why he plays so well on these long courses, where he doesn't have to make, you know, 18 birdies to contend. He can make like a bunch of pars and an occasional birdie to make it finish strong. I think that's where Hideki could play well. Like, he's going to put himself in position to two putt for a lot of pars. And that's what he's going to do, because he's going to miss the easy putts like you talked about. And then he'll tap in for par. So I could see Hideki at 9,000 being very interesting if he's got the ownership on his side come Wednesday. All right, 8K range now. We got Fleetwood, who apparently, I thought it was kind of funny. Like, I really don't care either way, but he was playing in Portugal over the weekend.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could just fly into America anymore and do this kind of stuff, but that's cool. Like, cool. Whatever you say.
I think he just can't fly out. You can come back.
I don't know. I was like, I was shocked to see, like, when I saw him playing there on, it's like a Twitter clip on Saturday from the European Tour. I was like, wait a minute. Like, isn't he supposed to be golfing in the U.S. Open next week? And how's this work? I'm confused right now, but I'm confused with a lot of things in 2020. So let's just go that direction.
All right.
Fleetwood, $8,900. Jason Day, 88. Scott, 87. That guy's just going to tilt us every week. Tiger at 86. Reed, 85. Rose, 84. Fowler, 83. Tyrell, 81. Fitzpatrick, 8K. Hovland, 8K. Okay, Jesse, this is a range of a lot of former, like, elite talent that's in a skid right now, and then a couple of young guys towards the bottom that are playing really well. This is a tricky 8K range. Where do you'll go here?
Well, start with Fleetwood. I mean, the dude, he just tends to show up. I think he finished like second. Yeah, he finished second in 2018 at Shinnecock, where Brooks won at plus one. He shoots plus two for the week. And I think that was off of a really good Sunday round.
Didn't he go out in the morning before the conditions were crappy and shot like 600 or something? Yeah.
And just shot way up the board. But he just kind of appears on these, like, he's not a prolific birdie maker. He's more of like a prolific par maker. And that's just what I want this week. So I think Tommy's fine. I really like Jason Day. I mean, in this field, over the last 24 rounds, he's second in strokes gained around the green, 19th in putting. And, you know, his other stats are okay. 17th tee to green. I feel like, you know, obviously with the last two starts for him, 64th and a missed cut, that he will be overlooked by a lot of people. Before that, he was fourth at the PGA Championship, sixth, fourth, seventh. So he had four straight top tens there. And then whatever happened at the Northern Trust. Anyways, I like Jason Day, especially a lot in GPPs. Adam Scott, same thing. If you pair these two up, it's the super Aussie connection. Adam, I mean, obviously he's played very sparingly since the COVID break, 25th, 58th, 22nd. But the guy, we know he hits it straight. He hits a shit ton of greens. If he brings a long putter, he can two putt from just about anywhere. And that's all really, I mean, he'll hit it to 10 feet all day long and miss 95% of them.
So true.
Three putt a couple, end up even par. That's fine, you know. So that's what I'm looking for there. And then last but not least for me, Tyrell Hatton, coming off the fifth place. Where did he finish at the Tour Championship? Because Labs does not have – did he finish fifth? Because they had DJ not finishing first.
Well, so see, the list I have, they're showing how they finished if they started out all even.
Yeah.
So I don't have his exact finish either. I just know he finished fifth if it would have been a straight-up event.
I got you. So three rounds in the 60s for him at the Tour Championship. solid BMW championship where he finished 16th. So I think he's fine. You know, 8,100, you know, you can have all the Ricky you want.
No.
Are you going to Patrick this week? I guess that's the big question.
I kind of want to have a little taco tits. Yes. Yes, I do. Like, it's one of those things. He's as annoying as it is to watch him on Shot Tracker. His off the tee game's been okay. It's been more of his approach game that's been kind of sketchy. But I'm more concerned about him getting off the tee. If his approach game's sketchy, he can still kind of wedge it up there and do something. He's a very good putter. He's a grinder. That's one thing I want this week. I don't want guys that completely – like, he's got an attitude, and he's full of crap sometimes. But, like, if stuff goes south, he's going to keep grinding on because he's all about that paycheck because his wife won't let him come home unless he makes his money. So – it's very, very simple there. Like, she'll start caddying and yelling at him if he doesn't start playing well.
That's true.
Like, we don't want that. He doesn't want that. So, but I think he likes the Northeast. He can grind on courses like this. I didn't mention earlier, I forgot, Poa with the mix of bent greens plays well on greens like that. I don't mind him in GPPs, obviously. Cash is tough just in general this week. It's going to be really tough in general. But Patty Reed in a GPP, I'm a big fan of him in his price range. I love Terrell. He's going to be my one-and-done pick this week. Like you said, finished the season well in the playoffs. He won earlier this year at the API, which is a very tricky course to play well at. So he's done well, 21st at Pebble, 6th the year before at Shinnecock. I like the way he's playing right now, $8,100. I can go his route. I like the Jason Day call a lot. Before, you know, he got knocked out of the playoffs, you know, I was all over him. I one-and-done him. I was starting to really buy into kind of the new looks, and the fact he mentioned the way he plays around the green is going to be huge here. And having a couple weeks off is not going to hurt him. I think that's going to help him more than anything. So I like Day, Reed, Hatton, and I love my boy Fitzpatrick. I really do this week. He grinds on courses like this. It's one of those, if he doesn't have to make a million birdies, he can make a few bogeys, make a few birdies. Like, how many of those missed cuts? Because you've had experience, some of them. I know I have. He misses, like, on the number. So he's grinding back and forth near the cut line all day. That won't be the case this week because that requires him to go like 9 over par. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but he might have a 2 or 3 over round and like a 2 over round, and he's still going to be fine type thing. Because that's what Fitzpatrick, he'll grind and grind and grind, and he'll surprise you come into the week. That's why he's finished 12th the last 2 U.S. Opens, finished 6th at the BMW, which was a tough course. So he's good at that kind of stuff. So I like him a lot at $8,000. This AK range is pretty darn loaded. Fitzpatrick and Hatton, my two favorites to walk away from. 7K range, it gets fun. So 7,500 and above, Jesse, who you liking here?
Yeah, there's quite a few here. Harris English at 7,900. 13th, 40th, 2nd, 23rd, 19th, 18th, 13th, 17th since his last missed cut. So basically he's top 20 and he's got that one finish of 40th. I think he's fine at 7,900. Paul Casey at 7,900. I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, like, it just seems like too much value not to play.
If you're paying cash, you play Paul Casey.
All right. Well, the thing, you know, with Paul is he's going to have probably a big number somewhere, mm-hmm. but, you know, can he make enough pars to kind of stave that off and make the cut? You know, it just seems like you have to at least play a little bit of him. I mean, in his last two PGA or U.S. Open championships, he finished 21st and 16th. And those were at higher prices. Maybe he was playing a little bit better coming in at those points. I don't know. But long story short, I like Paul Casey there. Matt Wolf is interesting at 7,700. I feel like, you know, he could do well at a place like this. He performed well at the PGA championship. He finished 4th there. The BMW, another tough one. Finished 16th. So 7,700, I think he's interesting. Kiz at 7,600 leads this field in strokes gained putting over the last 24 rounds and is 7th in DraftKings points over that same span. And just he's a grinder. We know about Kiz and his ability to grind. And then Louis Oosthuizen, he just shows up at majors and does well. It doesn't make any sense to me most of the time. Made the cut, the PGA Championship, finished 33rd. You know, played the BMW, finished 25th, 13th in between at the Northern Trust, has a 6th place finish, you know, at the St. Jude. I like Louis, man, at 76. I want guys who can, you know, who have been here before. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're not going to be shocked. They're not going to be shocked by, you know, kind of what goes on here. Let me look at, see what Louis U.S.
It's couple last phenomenal.
U.S. Opens. Has it?
7th, 16th, 23rd, 23rd, 2nd, his last five.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep.
He's made 6 straight cuts.
I like Louis.
Yeah. What about Sungjae at 75?
I don't know. So, you know, Sungjae played obviously very well at the Tour Championship. Going into that, you know, I saw a lot of people on him because they were on Bermuda greens. What are the greens here?
They're POA with bent mix.
Yeah. And, you know,
similar to like BMW in those courses we've seen at the Northeast.
Gotcha. So, I mean, he didn't putt well at those other places that they played, like the BMW didn't play very well. Northern Trust, he missed the cut. He's been up and down. I'm not on him this week.
All right. Just curious because he's a guy we know we liked a lot, but I'm in the 7K range. Casey, I'm starting to buy back into, seeing him play a little more consistently now, like you talked about. 16th, 49th, 31st, finished second at the PGA, 67th. So we've seen 5 straight made cuts. Obviously, one was a no-cut event, so that helps a lot. But finished 16th at that, so I'll take it. But starting to strike the ball well, good U.S. Open history, so he can grind it. Like you said, I hope people don't think we're overstating it, but the mental grind of going through a U.S. Open, like when you double or triple a hole and realizing you're not out of it, like you need to get your stuff together and focus, that's a big deal. Like in a lot of tournaments, the triple, you just might as well pack your bags and leave type situation. But it's a little different at the U.S. Open. You can make a comeback and make some damage there. So Casey's interesting. English has my attention. I just, you know, 58th at Pebble. He's made all 4 U.S. Open cuts he's played in, and he's playing the best golf that he's played in his life probably right now. So he's interesting. I think he'll be kind of popular here. I'd rather go to Casey per se, but I'll have to keep an eye on that one. Matthew Wolf, I like that call a lot because if he's on, he's a very straight driver of the golf ball, and that could put him in some premium positions. Now, we know he can spray it, and that could be it. So GPP only with Wolf, but I do like the upside there and probably the low ownership with a guy like Matty Wolf in this range. I love Kiz. I don't have to ever preach about that. People should know that by now. I'll be all over Kiz. And then Usti, it scares me you said that because when I made my one-and-done picks, you have to pick a runner-up. So I had Hatton, and I picked Usti. And I never trust Usti with anything. But everything you said, I 100% agree with. U.S. Opens, majors, this guy shows up for him for one, and he grinds it. And like I mentioned, his past history here has been great at the U.S. Opens. He's coming in pretty good form, 25th, 13th, his last 2 events. And just pray the withdrawal doesn't happen. And Usti's a very, very strong play. So I don't mind that at all. Now, the other guy I want to ask you about, like any love for a guy, say, Abraham Answer, you know, 49th at Pebble, 14th at East Lake, good iron player there?
Yeah, I mean, I almost clicked him, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm not usually an Answer guy. I'm just not going to jump on the train now. I see why you would maybe potentially like him because he played – wasn't he in the final group or something at the BMW?
He was near the back end, yeah.
Yeah. He was in contention somewhere recently, right?
I thought it was BMW. Maybe like Friday, not on the weekend, though.
I gotcha. You know, I don't know. I'm not an Answer guy. So, I mean, if you play him, I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I'm not going to play him.
All right, 74 to 7,000. Little different here. With a lot of, there's some youth. There's some veterans. Where are you looking here? Because I think this is where you can make or break some of your lineups, possibly.
Oh, for sure. Start with Brendan Todd, coming off the 21st at the Tour Championship, obviously out of 30. So bottom third, not great, but BMW, 8th. Dude's been hitting a lot of fairways. If he can get the in the field, you know, he's not really great tee to green, but around the green 15th, 4th in putting, you know, and that's just last 24 rounds. That's not sorting by on POA, yada, yada, yada. If you want to go all that route, you can. And I wouldn't talk you out of it again, but I'm just looking at just the last 24 rounds. I like Brendan Todd. Ian Poulter, man, 7,300. Give me plenty of the Poults. Another guy who has a good putter. Let's just hope he brings the Medina one.
Yes.
Which I don't know what he's putting with these days, but, you know, 39th Northern Trust, 22nd PGA Championship. Do you have his U.S. Open history?
Yes. He missed the cut at Pebble, but then 25th, Didn't play in 18 or 17, then 54, 17, 21st, 41st. So he's played pretty well overall in the U.S. Opens.
Not bad at all. And then, you know, Kuchar at 7,200. He's not coming in the best form. 59th, 18th, missed cut in his last three starts. But at $7,200, like, I don't know. I feel like at some point he's going to figure it out again, maybe. Maybe he gets a little Stu Goat Sink motivation. Did you notice, we didn't mention this, and I'm sorry, Kevin, that we'll go a little bit off topic here, but that he did not take his hat off on the green after he made his last putt on. So I don't know if you saw it or not.
No, I did not, but I respect it as a fellow bald man. I respect it.
Well, he went to like lift it off.
He probably had a hat line from the gods.
Oh, I know. I'm sure he did. But he was going to take it off, and he was like, I think he thought, like, well, shit, I've already been through this. I don't want to go through this again. And then last but not least for me, Martin Kaymer, $7,100. Been playing well on the European Tour. So second and third in his last two starts over there. Now, he did play the PGA Championship where he shot 66-82.
Yeah, that was so impressive.
You know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, he's been playing mostly European Tour. He did play the PGA Championship, which is his only start since August of 2019 at the Wyndham Championship that I have anyways. I don't know if he's – I don't remember him playing other spots. But I think he played, the API back in 2019. He actually played pretty well to the last round. And that's a difficult track as well, but, I mean, it's a long time ago. Long story short, Martin Kaymer, 7,100. I don't think he's going to go, like, under the radar, though. Because a lot of these guys who make picks in the industry, they follow both tours. So they're not blind to the fact that Martin Kaymer's been playing well in the European Tour.
Yeah, he's been playing extremely well. Second and a third in his last two events on the European Tour. So coming in very, very strong form there. I'm going to keep it simple in this range. It's Brendan Todd for me. We talk about it time and time again on these tough courses. Find the fairways, and he's done that very well at these events. At the BMW, at a few other ones, he's done really well at Muirfield and finished very strong PGA Championship. So I like Todd quite a bit at 74. And then my other play would be Pultz at 73, just for the consistency you mentioned. Those would be the two guys I want there. In the 6K range, there's guys I feel that have equal equity, if not more, to some of these guys in the 7K range. So I'd rather, if I'm going to gamble down here, I'm going to go a little farther and gamble some more down in the 6K range instead of pick and prod through some of these 7K guys. Speaking of the 6K range, it's a major, so it's going to be rather loaded compared to normal. Who are you liking down here?
Yeah, there's plenty of names in the 6K range. I don't think you necessarily have to go down here, but if you are, Thomas Peters at 6,800, he's a better golfer than 6,800. Now, he's not played at all. He was like really weird about COVID, I guess. So he has one start since the whole COVID stoppage, and he finished 15th. Hits the ball really long. He might spray it everywhere. He might shoot 95. So GPP only for Thomas Peters, but I don't mind him there. Mackenzie Hughes, man, I mean, you know, so the guy barely gets in the Tour Championship, finishes 7th. 10th at the BMW, 13th at the Northern Trust. So he's got three straight top 15s, two straight top 10s. He leads the field. He's third in the field in strokes gained putting. Around the green, he's 14th. He's not great tee to green, which kind of scares me. But, you know, in the GPP, Mackenzie Hughes, I don't mind him at 69. Sebastian Munoz, 6,600, coming off a pretty solid Tour Championship, finished 8th. BMW, 7th. BMW, he was 8th. He's just playing really well. So 6,600, I'll take some chances. Lonto Griffin at $6,500. The dude just is there. I don't know how he does it. Top 20 at the PGA Championship, finished 19th. 10th at the BMW Championship, 17th Tour Championship. Not a great week, but he cashed a big check there. Got to be feeling good going into this week. And he just hits it long and straight. I mean, there's some other names on here, but I don't really want to mention them because, like, I don't even know how to say these names. And I'm not even sure, like, that they're real people.
Well, I'll try some of them probably, but I like Kevin Streelman when it comes to a guy that's being accurate off the tee, can you know, grind out some pars, a veteran golfer at 6,700. Go his route. I like the Munoz call. Brandon Wu is going to be very popular this week. Finished 35th at Pebble last year. He's coming off a win on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's a local here. This is like his local course growing up. He's a young kid, going to be on the PGA Tour next year, most likely. But this is his home course. Like, he knows this track all over, like, easy, like a palm of his hand. So Wu at 66 is interesting. Probably be very popular, though. I love Lanto at 65. You mentioned everything you need to mention about him. I'll be all over that yet again this week. And then a few others, like if you want guys that are accurate off the tee and can grind a little bit, you know, Brian Harman, 12th at the BMW, 11th the week before that, 27th. So finished pretty well, just didn't make it to East Lake. Didn't play Pebble last week, but then 36th and second in his last two U.S. Opens. He's 64. If you want to go down here, don't hate that one at all. I know Dom in the Slack chat, he's watching right now on the live feed. He's a fan of what Cheston Hadley's been doing right now. So come get all that good info from Dom over there in the chat if you're curious about that, the way he's striking the ball at the moment. And then, you know, we joke about it a lot, but if you just want a guy that's going to grind on courses like this, Jesse, at $6,200, Steve Stricker, he's been playing on the senior tour for the most part, but didn't play Pebble, but then a 20th, a 16th, took 2 years off, 21st, 8th, 15th, 19th in his last six U.S. Opens. Like, he just doesn't make big numbers, and that's one thing that gets my attention. If you're paying $6,200, let him sneak into the weekend, play like even par on the weekend, finish 22nd or something at $6,200. That's like, he's going to be one of those guys that doesn't advance, but he doesn't fall back, or he advances by just playing even par type thing, which could be tremendous. So I think he's interesting at $6,200. And like you said, there's a lot of other guys in here, a ton of other guys that made different cuts, this, that, and the other. What's your thoughts on a cheap Brendan Grace this week?
I don't know. I never trust Brendan Grace.
Yeah, neither do I. But
I don't know why. I just don't do it.
He got in the field for Scottie Scheffler, I believe. So,
yeah, who tested positive for COVID, right?
Yep.
So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just hard to trust him ever.
All right. Before we recap our picks for DK, why don't you talk strategy like you wanted to, and then we'll recap the picks for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to hear all week long about how difficult this golf course is. And I talked about this at the PGA Championship too. I don't think that it's going to be a, you know, deal like we had at Erin Hills, where we all thought it was going to be super difficult. And then Brooks wins 16 under, four shots. But, you know, it might not be as hard. I mean, it's odd to me that, you know, in 2007, Oakmont is five over. It might have been the weather. It could have been that too. I mean, that's another thing to keep an eye on is the weather, the draw. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit softer every morning. So if you're playing Showdown, you want to target those guys. But, you know, for me, I'm just looking at waiting more. Like we talked about too earlier, finishing position. So guys who can finish higher, because the 66 percentage is going to be super low. 5 of 6 is going to be probably pretty good. And you just want guys who can kind of finish high. So obviously, if you can predict the future, you'll make a lot of money this week.
Yep. I'm with you 100% there. It's I want the grinders like you're talking about. That's pretty much where it's going to go. So I've heard the different scenarios. Like, do you want to go stars and scrubs? Do you want to go balance? Because like we said, T60 and ties, it's going to lead to a lot of miscuts, a lot of probably no, like very little. I'm not going to say none because they will happen. Very few 6 of 6s. So 5 or 6s, 4 or 6s, maybe even 3 of 6s cash. Do you want the idea, say a 3 of 6 where you get like a DJ, a couple 9K studs, and then some punts like Lanto, maybe Steve Stricker and some others, and make it work? Would you like to go that route, or do you want to go balanced?
I mean, I think you just go both ways.
Make a couple lineups. You'd rather. Like, I'm not saying you have to go full.
Now, like in single entry, I'm probably going to play it like a cash lineup.
So play it kind of more balanced. Okay.
Right.
Perfect. That answers that.
Yep. Now, in GPPs, obviously both ways. Just, you know, both ways. So, I mean, I think this is a great week to play single entry too, because the pricing is good. If you do your research, you know, there's obviously always a lot of people who come in who are new or newer to golf, or maybe just casual golf fans, because DK has plenty of big prizes up there and everything. So, you know, if you can get four, you know, five or maybe even six through the cut, you're going to have a really good shot to win some decent money this week.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned the casual players, because the contests are great. People might have won money on football this week, waiting for football to start next week.
Wait, people win money on football?
Yeah, some do. Okay. So they're like, okay, let's try this golf thing out. It's a major. This big contest. That could be fun too. So just throwing that out there. I say it in baseball all the time. Like the Tuesday and Wednesday before in between football slates are really fun for people that like to play baseball, like myself. So it really, you can see a difference. So that's always good. I think I'll stick to my three max like always. And I have more of a cash game mentality when I play just in general. But what I'll do is I'll probably do one stars and scrubs, and then I'll do two kind of cash ones. Usually I just have like a core of like three or four guys and I build around them, and it works out for the most part. But I think this week I'm going to try to see what some of the stars and scrubs look like for sure. Let's recap now. 10K and above, who's your number one play?
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not even going to try to justify him. Like, Xander would be my guy if I didn't have DJ. So I'll give one other person Xander. 9K range, who's your one?
Webb.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Webb too. That's tough. I'm going to go Webb too. I'm not going to say the other guy. I'm going to go Webb. 8K range, go two.
Jason Day and Tyrell.
I'm going to go Tyrell and Matt Fitzpatrick. So 75 to 79, go with two.
Let's see. Harris English. Kisner and Oosthuizen.
I'll go Casey and Oosthuizen, and that hurts me not saying Kevin Kisner. That really, like, I hope he doesn't hear about this. 7,000 to 7,400, give me two.
Poulter and Todd.
Yeah, those are the only two I like in this whole range, so I don't have to sugarcoat it. It's Todd and Poulter. And go two guys in the 6K range.
Mackenzie Hughes, Thomas Peters, Sebastian Munoz.
I'll go Lanto and Stricker. Those will be my two. If you are playing cash, where do you plan on starting your cash builds? Because going up and getting a DJ is going to make cash very difficult.
Yeah, I think it's easy enough to go balance, though. Like, I like Adam Scott. I think he's a decent cash play. I think Tommy will make the cut too, Tommy Fleetwood. And like you said, PC, I mean, Paul Casey has got some merit there for cash.
Like, he might not finish high, but all you want to do is make the cut in cash. Right. Like, it's as simple as it sounds. So I like the idea of almost starting out with Hatton, Fitzpatrick, and Casey right in that 79 to 81 range, and then seeing where you want to go from there. I think I don't mind starting out that way. If you're starting at a GPP, though, how do you want to go about that?
So DJ, Thomas Peters. I mean, it's just like
That's
multiple
right there. Yep.
GPP. And then I would get up somebody like Berger.
Okay. I'm going to start with I'll go with Xander. No. I'll go John Rahm with Oosthuizen and Lanto. That'd be my three-man start.
I like it.
I'm a big fan of that setup there. All right. Now the fun part, the very, very fun part, because this is a wild one. Who you got winning this whole thing?
Dustin Johnson? I don't know.
It's hard to pick against me. 7.5 to 1.
But, yeah, they're not betting that.
I wouldn't bet him, but if he just shows up, I know it sounds pretty easy, he's going to win. I think it's that simple. He's playing that much better than everybody else right now. But a very difficult golf course can challenge a lot of
different people. I agree. You know, somebody who's a little bit deeper, maybe Jason Day at 33.
Don't hate that.
And then, you know, Kisner at 100. I think that's kind of long on Kisner there.
Yeah, that's not bad. Your numbers are a little better than mine, so I'm going to ask you some numbers here.
I'm looking at Bovada.
I think when we're talking, the idea, I think, for if you're going with longer shot guys, you want grinders that can kind of hover around even par, maybe put together a little bit and just kind of slide in there type deal. What do you have on Oosty?
80.
I don't mind him at 80. I think that's interesting. Yeah. I think you can play with that. And then what do you have?
I don't know if he can win, but
maybe like a top 10 or something.
Yeah, I mean, top 10, you might be able to get a little bit better odds on that.
And then what do you have for, since I picked him in one and done, I see 35 to 1. What do you have for Hatton?
I have 40.
Okay. So I like that quite a bit. We'll answer Dom's question. We kind of just answered a second ago. He says, how do you guys feel about stars and scrub strategy like Rahm or Akawa, Xander? but then your scrubs, you look for a trio of guys at the bottom that all have the same skill set, like irons and putting. Would you be cool building that kind of lineup?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if you start with those top three or whatever, and that's your top three core, I would go, you know, like in a three max, I would go a couple different ways. Look at guys who are good tee to green and play those three guys, and then look at guys who are good around the green and play those guys, and then maybe do a mix.
Okay. Well, all I know is it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of tilt. This is one of those weeks where, you know, you can tilt. Like, I tilted the Safeway because all my guys were well within the cut line after Thursday, and then Friday just, yeah, I don't want to go back. I don't want to relive what took place Friday. That was just mind-boggling. And it's guys I felt so comfortable with. It was just, like, I was so angry about that. There's a lot of weeks where it's like, okay, shit happens. I was pretty pissed off at those lineups that night because they're guys I trust a lot. But this week's going to be one of those where you kind of have to go into it enjoying and embracing everything that's going to take place because it's going to be some good golf, some like what the hell golf, and hopefully the cream rises to the top like it usually does, and hopefully get some green screens. But any final thoughts for everybody, all the listeners out there?
I don't, man.
Yep. Should be a lot of fun. That's all I know. Should be a lot of fun. Sure. I know we weren't on last week, but they released 50 events in 52 weeks, Jesse. So are you pretty pumped on that one?
I apologize for missing last week. It was Tuesday.
Yeah,
it was a mixed bag. It was weird, and it was the wife's birthday, so that was my fault that last week there. It wasn't Bubba's fault.
No, I was traveling on Monday. His wife's birthday on Tuesday. I said, you know what? Come to the Slack chat. We'll talk there. We don't need to – we could take the week off for the Safeway. It's all good. Stu Goat took care of it. They didn't need us for that. They know to play Stu Goat if you listen to the show.
So, yes.
Simple game.
Unless it's us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But all right, everybody. We will wrap it up with that. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. You can check the video feed out on the Fantasy Sports Degens YouTube or give a rate and review on iTunes for all the other listeners out there. But good luck this week. We'll catch you guys later. Anybody ever wonder?